Welcome to Rethink, a podcast on the future of skilled nursing. I am Jack Silverstein of Skilled Nursing News, and joining me today is Jesse McGill, Senior Curriculum Development Specialist of the American Association of Post-Acute Care Nursing, which represents more than 20,000 post-acute care nurses and professionals. In this interview, Jesse and I discuss the Skilled Nursing Facility Value-Based Purchasing Program, providing the ins and outs of how this program is progressing, and giving a look at the strategies and tools that SNF leaders can use to be successful. Hello, everyone. I am Jack Silverstein here for Skilled Nursing News. And joining us today is Jesse McGill, Senior Curriculum Development Specialist of the American Association of Post-Acute Care Nursing, or AAPACN. Jesse, we are very happy to have you today.
Thank you. I'm happy to join you today.
So we are looking at the Skilled Nursing Facility Value-Based Purchasing Program, how it's evolved, what SNFs can look to. So let's start here. Tell us about the program. What is it? Why was it implemented?
That's a great place to start. The Medicare SNF Value-Based Purchasing Program is really designed for financially incentivizing SNFs based on quality performance. And so essentially, it encourages SNFs to focus on resident outcomes, on care coordination, reducing rehospitalizations, and overall quality improvements. But to better understand why it was implemented, we have to kind of step back and look historically at Medicare reimbursement. So if we go back before the patient-driven payment model, which is our current reimbursement methodology, to the resource utilization group, that methodology was used, was focused solely on the volume of services provided. It was literally resource utilization. And over 90% of the claims paid for skilled nursing facilities was based on therapy volume. So the more therapy you provided, the higher reimbursement rate you received from Medicare. And we saw a significant shift with the patient-driven payment model. And here we saw a shift from the volume of services to actual resident characteristics. So the patient-driven payment model was implemented October 1st, 2019. And that was one of the biggest shifts we saw, moving from volume of services to resident characteristics. But even before patient-driven payment model was implemented, the SNF value-based purchasing program was going on in the background. So this actually came from PAMA, which is the Protecting Access to Medicare Act of 2014. And essentially, the goal of this program was to move part of the Medicare payment from volume to value. And it started focusing with just one measure, which is the 30-day all-cause hospital readmission measure. And even though this started in 2014 with the PAMA Act, we didn't see it impact Medicare reimbursement until fiscal year 2019. And that's because it uses historic data, it uses a performance year and a baseline year. So we need 4 years of performance data before they can calculate that incentive payment. And so from 2019 till fiscal year 2026, the SNF VBP program is focused on one readmission measure. And in order to provide the incentive payment, it actually withholds 2% of the Medicare payments and then redistributes 60% of that. The remaining 40% is used to, CMS says it funds that SNF VBP program. So 60% is an incentive payment back to SNFs. However, even though this is a financial incentive program, there are many SNFs that are penalized with this program. I was just looking at the fiscal year 2025 VBP data, which is on cms.data.gov. And looking at these numbers, it showed that only 27% of facilities actually received an incentive payment. So they received more than the 2% that was held. They earned back that 2% and actually got a little bump in payment. About 10% broke even. And that leaves 63% of facilities that actually received less Medicare reimbursement with the value-based purchasing program than they would have had the program not been implemented.
That is a rather large number. Was that a surprise to you?
It's something that we haven't seen CMS really release in publicize how many facilities are getting that incentive payment and how many are not. And so when I actually calculated it out, I thought it was almost alarming that more than half of the facilities receive less reimbursement than they would have without this incentive program.
Yeah, that's an awfully big number. So you've mentioned how you've mentioned a few ways that that SNFs are measured. How are they most currently measured, and how is this changing? And I'll just add, is this going to have an impact on moving that 63% or lowering that 63%?
Great question. So I'll start with where are SNFs currently measured? And again, like I said, since the start of the program, fiscal year 2019, till our current program, fiscal year 2025, the SNF value-based purchasing program is based on one measure, which is the 30-day all-cause readmission measure, also referred to as SNF-RM. And this measure estimates the risk-adjusted rate of unplanned hospital readmissions within 30 days of the discharge from the acute hospital. So residents that were in the hospital come to the SNF. We want to prevent any rehospitalizations within 30 days of them walking in our door. And the SNFs are measured based on two performance thresholds. They're measured based on an improvement measurement, which is the facility's performance compared to their own performance 2 years prior to that performance year during the baseline year, and an achievement threshold, which is their performance during the performance year compared to all facilities nationally during the baseline year. And that can be really confusing just in itself of what is the improvement and achievement score. And so one of the tricks that I use to make sure I keep this clear when I'm talking about it and teaching about SNF value-based purchasing is that for improvement score, the I is for I. So improvement, I'm comparing myself to my baseline performance. So I'm comparing to myself. For achievement, the A is for all. I'm comparing myself during that performance year to all facilities during the baseline year. So a little trick there to try to keep those separate. So
I love a good mnemonic device.
I love them too.
Yeah.
So we're going to start seeing some major changes for fiscal year 2026. So again, that starts this October. And CMS has another legislation approved adding more measures to the SNF value-based purchasing program. And so for fiscal year 2026, we're going to still have the SNF-RM measure, and then we're going to add the SNF healthcare-associated infections requiring hospitalization measure, which providers are already familiar with this, with the SNF QRP measure currently, and also adding two staffing measures, the total nursing staffing hours per resident day and the total nursing staff turnover, both of which are currently used in the five-star staffing domain rating. And then we see even more changes as we move to fiscal year 2027, where we keep all of those measures I just talked about, and then we also add the discharge to community measure, which is also a SNF QRP measure, where we will add the percent of residents experiencing one or more major falls or falls with major injuries. And this measure is a little bit different for the SNF value-based purchasing program because this is the MDS 3.0 measure. So it looks at all long-stay residents, the residents in the facilities for 100 or one more or more days, and it's regardless of payer. Most of the other measures are looking at Medicare claims or residents who are on a Medicare stay within the facility. And this one kind of changes that format where we're looking at now all residents, regardless of payer, and long-stay residents who oftentimes are not on a Medicare stay during that time frame. It also adds the discharge function score, which is a new one that SNFs have been really trying to better understand. It's a SNF QRP measure that was implemented last October, or October 2023, I should say. And then the number of hospitalizations per 1,000 long-stay resident days. And that one looks at Medicare beneficiaries, but they do not have to be on a skilled stay. In addition to all of that, in fiscal year 2027, CMS also added an adjustment called the Health Equity Adjustment, which rewards SNFs for serving an underserved population and also achieving the high performance threshold. So a lot of changes going on. And I think with the additional changes, we may see it Because there's more measures for SNFs to achieve outcomes on, we may see SNFs that may have struggled with that one readmission measure be able to perform better when they have more metrics that they can do better in some if they're not doing better in all, and see more of a increase in that 63% that did not, or I should say a decrease, we want to see that number go down, more facilities achieve a incentive multiplier that will actually break even at that 2% or even gain some of that money back.
Excellent. I really appreciate that breakdown. So let's move here. Biggest challenges. What are the biggest challenges that SNFs face in meeting VBP performance targets for the current readmission measure, and what can they do to overcome those challenges?
I think one of the biggest challenges with the VBP program, first with the readmission measure, is that this is a Medicare claims measure, and it looks at older historic data. So what you're being measured on for the current fiscal year, it may not be this even the same population type of residents that you have today. So having that ongoing quality improvement for readmission and what might have caused a higher readmission rate 2 and 4 years earlier may not be the same challenges you have today. And I think, you know, as we move forward and we see the expansion of VBP, one of the other biggest challenges is that we have so many different quality measures that facility staff have to focus on, and narrowing which is most important to focus on. So we have over 50 quality measures across multiple programs, and they're used for different reasons. So a lot of times you'll see facilities focusing on the MDS 3.0 measures because that's what surveyors look at before they come into your door. And they may be focusing on the 5-star measures because that's what the public sees. And so there's more of an immediate impact with those measures. And then to have facility staff focus on SNF VBP measures, which have almost a so far out in the future, it's difficult to focus on type of mindset that not only are you managing multiple programs, but you have to prioritize. And oftentimes I see that value-based purchasing may not be the most priority level measure today. And so to overcome that, one of the things I would encourage facilities to do is to really look at overall programs and systems. So, for example, if your facility has a high rate of falls, whether it is in the prevalence of falls measure, the long stay falls with major injury, or the SNF QRP falls with major injury, if you've identified that as an area you need improvement, instead of looking at the individual measures and trying to really decipher what was the problem with each measure, looking at your overall fall management program to say, what are the underlying causes of these falls? Was there a trend? Was it during a shift change, or is it during a really busy time when a lot of the nurse aides are in resident rooms providing care? And so we need more staff at this time, or more oversight in the hallway, someone to answer call lights so residents are not unsafely taking themselves to the bathroom or another situation. So really getting down to those root causes of why we're having falls instead of hyper-focusing on which program is impacted. If we focus on those underlying causes and clinical systems, we can have systemic changes in our facility that will maintain and have continuous quality improvement over time and not just a reaction to the measures.
Okay, so I think that moves into this this question of key difficulties that SNFs might encounter as the VBP program expands to include all these additional quality measures. So we've talked about what they're doing to overcome things right now. How can they navigate these new and evolving challenges moving forward?
The first thing is to understand the data that is used for SNF VBP. So I mentioned earlier that it uses old data. And oftentimes, especially when I'm training SNF value-based purchasing, I'll have folks say to me, why are we looking at things for 2027? Like, I'm not worried about 2027 today. And so when we look at how this program works, today we're in fiscal year 2025. So the metrics that are used for your performance data is a performance year of 2023, and a baseline year of fiscal year 2019. Now, Typically, the rule is the performance year is 2 years earlier and the baseline year is 4 years earlier. But for fiscal year 2025, 4 years earlier put us into the pandemic. So there was an exception to that calculation and they moved us back to the baseline year of 2019. For fiscal year 2026, which, you know, that's coming up this October, so you might think that's where I need to start focusing on, that uses a performance year of 2024. So that's done. Baseline year of 2022. Again, that's done. Everything that we had to do to make quality improvement during that time frame has already passed. So now whatever we receive for that score, as long as all the calculations are correct that we would review during the review and correction period, the metrics that are measured have already happened. So when we talk about where to focus today, we're looking at fiscal year 2027, which uses a performance year of 2025 and a baseline year of 2023. So what's happening in our facilities today for the expansion in 2027 has that largest expansion to all the other measures is what is going to impact our payment in 2027. So to this year, the things that we should be focusing on is reducing hospitalizations because we still have that SNF RM measure. We want to be managing infections, especially preventing infections that would cause a rehospitalization. We want to be looking at staffing and reducing turnover and falls management. Those would be the key things that would have the biggest impact on your fiscal year 2027 performance.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jesse. I appreciate that. How does the SNF VBP program align with other quality initiatives such as the 5-star quality rating system and the SNF quality reporting program?
There's a lot of overlap. And it can cause some confusion because we have overlap in measures and then we have only partial overlaps with data sets and then and so as I get into that, I'll try to explain some of the differences too, as well as how they align. So the first thing I want to mention is SNF QRP. This is the SNF Quality Reporting Program. This is another program that came out of 2014, but it came out of the IMPACT Act, which was the Improving Medicare Post-Acute Care Transformation Act. And essentially, the goal of this program was to require post-acute care providers to report a threshold of data so that we could have comparable data across the different post-acute care settings. So this is a pay-for-reporting program. And essentially, if the SNF provider does not submit at least 100% of the data on 90% of the MDS is required, then they could have a 2% penalty to their annual Medicare update. And along with that, there is an additional requirement for the National Healthcare Safety Network, NHSN, healthcare personnel vaccination data reporting. They have to report 100% of that, as well as the MDS threshold. And if the providers do not meet that threshold, then they can be faced with a 2% penalty. And this is a different 2% penalty than the SNF VBP. So if they perform poorly in reporting for SNF QRP and perform poorly for value-based purchasing, they could lose 4% for that entire fiscal year. So some of the overlaps are how they align. The SNF QRP and VBP both use the discharge to community measure, the SNF healthcare associated infections measure, and the discharge function score. And there's also some overlap with the data periods that are used. So for fiscal year 2027 for QRP, this measure uses calendar year data for 2025, whereas the VBP for 2027 uses the fiscal year for 2025 for its performance data. So a lot of overlap there, and some of the good parts of why this aligns is when CMS is going to start the validation audits, which was in a recent final rule, they are going to be reviewing both QRP and VBP for validation at the same time. So there's also quite a bit of overlap and alignment with the 5-star program. And the 5-star program, if you are a facility that's focused on your 5-star quality outcomes, you're going to be ahead of the game in a lot of the measures that are utilized also in SNF value-based purchasing, because With 5-star, this uses 4 full quarters of data for which data is available. And what that means is there's a quarter delay for which providers still have a ability to correct the data before it's publicly reported. So CMS has said you have about 80 to 90 days after the end of the quarter to correct any of that data in the quarter before they pull it for public reporting. Once it's pulled, we can no longer correct any of the MDS data. So some of the measures that are used both for 5-star public reporting and for SNF value-based purchasing is the number of hospitalizations per 1,000 long-stay resident days, the discharge to community, the long-stay falls with major injury, discharge function score, as well as the 2 staffing measures, which also impact the 5-star, but in the staffing domain.
Got it. You know, Jesse, like you said, there is a lot of overlap. There is so much here. So I just thought of this, and I wanted to ask you, you know, the American Association of Post-Acute Care Nursing, AAPACN, you represent more than 20,000 post-acute care nurses and professionals working in more than 7,200 facilities. At just a high level, what are the most frequent concerns that you hear about on all these topics from your members, and what do you tell them to just reassure them and give them, you know, a reprieve and give them some confidence and give them some actionable information, because no one's going to be like an absolute expert immediately, and it's a lot to take in.
That is a great question.
What are you hearing from these?
One of the biggest questions we have is just on how to simplify it, because they are such confusing, complex programs, and you know, it's knowing everything that we've been talking about today, and then knowing just what you need to know to really achieve good outcomes without having to understand all the nuances of all the different programs. One of the first things I would say is there are several different manuals, and they each have the source methodology for each of these programs and measures. So one of the things I encourage folks to do is know which programs go with which manuals and have those at your ready. The second is to focus on the underlying processes and systems. If we focus too much on just what the MDS is telling us, and the MDS is the method in which a lot of the quality measurements are measured. So the MDS-based ones are use the MDS. And a lot of times the focus is on the MDS and not the problem. And so I often encourage folks to not worry about the MDS outside of making sure it is accurate, but focus on the underlying causes of what went wrong and how you can prevent that in the future. Because when we have a reactive approach to these quality measures, we put in more effort to try to fix something that already occurred rather than looking at how we can prevent it in the future. And the more you can prevent the adverse events from happening, the falls of pressure ulcers, decline in ADLs, the rehospitalizations, the more we can focus on just day-to-day and on the resident.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I wanted to add that in and get that sense, that overview. So let's talk about this. What reports are available to help SNFs manage VBP performance?
For value-based purchasing specifically, there's pretty much 4 reports that come out every year. The first one comes out in December, and this is your full year workbook. And the second is an interim partial year workbook that comes out in March. And this one will show you, the one in December shows you your baseline period. The one in March shows you your partial year performance. You'll get another report in June, which gives you the performance period. And then the one that's key is August. The report that comes out in August will contain both your baseline and your performance period results, as well as what that incentive multiplier payment will be for the upcoming fiscal year. So fiscal year starts October 1st. You'll know in August whether you have a increase in your rate for the entire fiscal year or a decrease, or if you broke even. There was one other report I want to mention, and that actually was released back in April of 2024. And this report was an early look report, and the purpose of it was to use the facility's current data to give them an early look of what of how the reports will look like for fiscal year 2026 when we expand to a multiple measure program. And again, this one was just for information only, but if providers have not gone into the iKEYS and pulled that early look performance report, that is something that will give you an idea of what to expect for what you'll see in your reports this fiscal year, upcoming fiscal year.
Tell me about the health equity adjustment, or HEA, in the SNF VBP program for program year 2027. What is it, and how will it impact SNFs?
So essentially, this is an additional adjustment. So I mentioned earlier that CMS withheld 60% of the Medicare rate for incentive payments. And when health equity goes into play, they're going to have a variable withholding. And the variable withholding will allow that 60% just for the incentive payment and then additional funds as needed for the additional health equity adjustment. And essentially, the health equity adjustment rewards SNFs that meet a certain performance threshold for each measure and care for a higher proportion of residents who are considered underserved. And CMS defines underserved for SNF value-based purchasing as residents who are duly eligible for Medicare and Medicaid. So they have enrolled in both Medicare and Medicaid. They don't have to be actively on a Medicare Part A stay, but they're duly eligible for Medicare and Medicaid. So for any of the measures during that fiscal year program for which the facilities in the top third of performers, so in the 66.67th percentile for performing of SNFs nationally, and so top third of SNFs for each measure will get 2 bonus points for each of the measures during that program year. And essentially, it's quite a difficult math calculation with, of course, some regression models and other mathematical input. But essentially, if you have at least 20% of residents who are dual eligible status, you will get bonus points for each measure that you are in the top third of performers. If you are a facility that serves less than 20% of dual eligible status residents, then no adjustments are made. You're not eligible for that increased adjustment.
So we mentioned how many members AAPACN has. We've talked a lot here. If we could boil this down to one key strategy, what would be that one key strategy that you believe is most critical for SNFs to use in order to succeed under the VBP program?
If I were to narrow that down to just one, I would say proactive data management. We have to be ahead of the curve when it comes to quality improvement, and then not lose focus. So it's proactive approach to quality improvement, and then having systems and processes in place. And this is an entire team approach. This is not just the clinical team. This is everyone on the team. Dietary, housekeeping, administrators are on board with a culture of quality improvement, and not only being reactive to the quality measure outcome data and identifying where you might have adverse events and high scores where you want to lower them, but getting to that point where you are proactively looking at quality improvement and looking at your systems ahead of time rather than just a response effort. And I would add to that, because we also have a really strong staffing component here, is as much as you can invest in your staffing to make sure they are competent, supported, you have strong staffing retention and training programs, that will also help those staffing measures, which have a very significant impact when it comes to 5-star and the VBP program.
Wonderful. Jesse, this has been great. We really appreciate you giving us your time and expertise today.
Thank you. It was wonderful being here.
Thank you again to Jesse McGill, Senior Curriculum Development Specialist of the AAPACN, for joining us on the Rethink podcast from Skilled Nursing News. To hear more episodes, visit skillednursingnews.com/podcast.